Psalms 23. We are just working through. We're just working through the book of Psalms, and not going to everyone, but I'm kind of just cherry picking. I guess maybe I'll just admit it. Some of my favorite psalms, and we're going to kind of teach through Psalms 23. If you attend a funeral in a Baptist church, at least with a Baptist pastor, there's a good chance you're going to hear Psalms 23 read. But boy, Psalms 23 is way too big and way too important to just use in funeral services. It's one of my favorite psalms, and so we're going to teach down through it today. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless our time together, and thank you for this psalm. Lord, thank you for being our good shepherd. Lord, I pray, dear God, that each of us would make that personal decision so that we could say, the Lord is my shepherd. And Lord, if there's someone here without Christ, I pray they'd be saved. Lord, help us not to be that wayward sheep, Lord, that you're always having to chase down, or you're always having to use the staff to hook back into and keep in line. Lord, I thank you that that's part of what you do in our lives. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to always keep our eyes on our shepherd and trust you in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Famous missionary Hudson Taylor said this: the Lord is my shepherd is on Sunday, is on Monday, is on Tuesday, and through every day of the week. It's in January, and it's in December, and every month of the year. It's at home, it's in China, it's in peace, it's in war, in abundance, and in poverty. The Lord is always our shepherd. And so that's a great quote from a great man. Psalms 23 is one of my favorite psalms, and it is a psalm of comfort, but it's first of all a psalm of commitment, because David said this: the Lord is my shepherd. Now, this is a statement that I believe proclaims God's rightful position in our life. You know, you can go back to the Gospel of John 10, where Jesus said, verse 11 through 15, he said, I am the good shepherd. And so that's what he wants to be in our life. God should be the one who leads us day by day. You know, somebody asked me one time, preacher, how do you know God's will for your life day by day? I said, get up in the morning, read your Bible, pray, look around till you find Jesus, and just follow him. And I don't know of a better plan to get through each and every day. Just let the Lord lead you. Want him to lead you. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, we're talking about our ways here, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Now, how do we acknowledge him? We allow him to be our good shepherd. We trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. I read that about a year ago, and you've heard me say this several times since, but you know, this matter of trusting the Lord with all of our heart. And so many times when God is making decisions or allowing us to go through some things, and we don't understand. And the Bible says, don't lean upon your own understanding. But I don't know about you, I want to understand. I want to ask the why question. I not only want to ask the why question, I want to hear an answer to the why question. And as I was reading that, the Lord said to me, Jerry, if you understood everything, you wouldn't have to trust me. Think about that. If you understood everything, you would never have to trust me. And so there's a lot of things that the Lord's going to allow in our lives or ask us to go through that he doesn't give us an explanation. That's why he says, trust me. Just trust me. But Lord, I want to know why. I want to understand why you're asking me to go through this. And again, he just says, why don't you trust me? Don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So this first statement, the Lord is my shepherd, this was a statement proclaiming God's rightful position in our lives, but this is also a statement proclaiming David's acceptance of God's position of shepherd and David's position as one of his sheep. Now, let's just stop a minute and realize, folks, if we're going to acknowledge that relationship, that's going to take a little bit of humility on our part. I can remember back when I was pastoring the Central Baptist Church in Brazil, and I preached on the Lord is my shepherd. I preached on Psalms 23 one Sunday night. There was a man there that I could tell was just kind of, there's a reason that God told Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. Because sometimes when you're teaching or preaching something, if you just went by people's faces, you'd probably back off or stop preaching it or curb it. But I could tell the minute I made this statement, think about this, God is our shepherd and we are the sheep, and he didn't like it. And as he walked out, and by the way, a professing Christian, had a testimony of his salvation, and he goes through the back door and he said, I know that's what it says, but I guess I've always struggled with this whole idea of being a sheep. And I thought to myself, the problem in your heart is pride. What do you want to be, the shepherd? There's already a shepherd, all right? And so this takes some humility in our life, okay? David acknowledged God's right to be his shepherd. Just because that is God's rightful position doesn't mean that every Christian, hey, that guy went out the back door and as much as said, I'm not going to be a sheep and I'm not going to let, he may not have said it that direct, but that's what he was saying. And folks, we got to make a decision that we're going to allow God to have his rightful place in our life. He is the shepherd. Each of us must decide whether or not we will allow God to be our shepherd, or if we will rebel and try to find our own way in life. Now, I'm going to go through all the verses, but you ought to just take a look at the word way and ways just in the book of Proverbs. Just, we've got the computer programs now, and we can, Bible programs, and we can type in a word and hit a button, and we can have printed out in front of us. It's pretty good. Pretty good shortcut there. I always laugh, have memories of back when we had the big concordance with the microscopic print and we're trying to read it and we're going to every, and we're writing all it. Oh, these young preachers don't know how spoiled they are. Now we all use, and I do too, I use the shortcuts. But there's all kinds of words connected with the word way. There's the wrong way. There's the evil way. There's the ways of death and our way compared to God's way. Everybody's got to choose their way. And God does create in each and every one of us a free will. And we have to make a decision. Are we going to walk in God's will and God's ways? Are we going to follow the shepherd? Or are we going to be like, even saved people can be like that. Come on, 99 in the fold. Where's the one at? He just decided to go his own way. And so I'm going to preach a message, and I've been working on it. So now, every time I say that, I just go ahead and preach it right now so I don't have to preach it later. But, I'm going to preach a message entitled My Job, Your Job. My Job, Your Job. And, one of the things we have to understand, if God's given it any kind of a position of authority in life or a position of influence where we're trying to help people do the right thing, our job is to preach the truth. Our job is to set the right example. Our job is to point our young people in the right direction. But you know what? We don't just have a job. Watch this. They have a job. God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for the sins of all the world. Now think about that. Did he do his job? Yes, he did. Does everybody do their job by receiving what he did? So he did the right thing, and he gave everybody an opportunity to be saved, and yet he also gave us a free will. And for us to blame Jesus for somebody else's decision is wrong. Amen. And I'm afraid so many times parents get to feeling guilty because of maybe one of their kids didn't turn out. Maybe one of their kids went the wrong way. And I just want to say, did you do your job? Well, did you do the, listen, we're not Jesus. We're not going to do it perfect. You want to go down that road, you can go down that road. But the honest truth is, did you point them in the right direction? Did you keep them in church? Did you teach them wisdom? Did you set a good, solid, consistent example for them? Well, that means you did your job. Now, they've got to, fellowship has to realize we're in a society that's a victim's society, and every time somebody does wrong, they want to point at everybody else around them and say it's their fault. No, it's time that, listen, I was raised in a preacher's home. but I still had a free will. And I could have went the way of the world. I had a choice. And so, you know, our Christian school, I'm so glad for our Christian school. And you know what? We got teachers and staff that go out there every day, and you know what they do? They do their job. Young people that go through our Christian school, they can't stand before God and say they didn't have good examples, and they help them hide the Bible in their heart. They set the right example. We have chapel every day. Preachers, or not every day, every week, preachers come in and preach the right things, and they're we raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and we point them in the right direction. Listen, my job is to point them in the right direction. Guess what their job is? To go in the right direction. My job is to help them find the right path. You know what their job is? To walk the right path. And so this is what David did. David said, I'm going to make a choice. This is my personal choice, and that's this. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd is personal here. Okay, so this whole idea of a shepherd in our life, it's needed. Now, preacher, what's the benefits of having a shepherd? And there's so many blessings and so many benefits of just letting God be your shepherd. Let's kind of go through this psalm, and let's look at some of the benefits, all right? So the Bible says in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, then it says this, I shall not want. And you know what? If you allow God to be your shepherd, he'll see to your needs. He will see to your needs. That word want means I won't do without. And while we're there and thinking about that, mark Psalms 23. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 6 real quick. Matthew chapter 6. You know, one of the things that's wonderful about being a child of God and following the shepherd and trusting in him is that he takes good care of his sheep. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6. This is a good portion of scripture for us to read this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, think about this, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air. Now think about this. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Boy, think about that with all the spring flowers. Verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. So what should we be focused on then? Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are you talking about? I'm talking about just choosing to follow the shepherd. David said this, the Lord is my shepherd. And because I'm allowing him to be my shepherd, one of the things I know is that I shall not want. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So the first blessing or benefit of having a shepherd is that the shepherd sees to your needs. Number two, the shepherd sometimes decides that we need to lie down, so he makes us. How about this? We're back in Psalms 23 now, verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And I've referenced that verse publicly a few times during the last almost 2 years of the ups and downs of battling cancer. There's been some of that time where the Lord just says, you know what, you're going to lie down in green pastures for a while. Well, for those of you that know Jerry Ross, I'm not a guy that wants to lay around. I would never choose to lay around. That's why he has to make me sometimes. And I literally was reading this one day when I was very frustrated because of what I was going through for that little stretch of time in treatments. I was so limited of what I could do and what I couldn't do, and I was so focused and frustrated. And all of a sudden, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me. And I couldn't help but picture the shepherd with his somewhat bull-headed sheep, and he just takes his foot and puts it on top of him and just pushes him down. And, you know, the sheep struggles against that. He don't want to lay down, but he struggles against it. And he's like, you're going to, my decision, not yours, you're going to lay here for a while. You're just going to stay right there for a while. And again, depending on what your personality is, I guess some Christians would say, hallelujah, good, I don't have to do anything for a while. That's not the way I'm wired. And so it's sometimes he makes us to lie down in green pastures. And folks, there's going to be in all of our lives times when God just says, I need you to just be still. I need you to just stay here. By the way, those times we'll look back later on and realize that those are green pastures times. They really are. Think about that. Even though you're lying down surrounded by the things that you need, surrounded by the nutrition that you need. Have you ever had, come on, in your experience where God just kind of hits the brakes on your life and slows things down? And the reason is that, well, let's read on. Think about that. Psalms 20, what's the next phrase after he maketh me lie down in green pastures, leadeth me beside still waters? And then verse 3, he restoreth my soul. And sometimes, folks, we're so busy serving the Lord that we get out of touch with the Lord. Somebody help me. I don't want to be here by myself, okay? I'm not the only one, I hope. But I've been there where sometimes you get so busy serving the Lord that you kind of get out of touch with the Lord, and God just kind of says, all right, my choice, I'm going to put the brakes on. Listen, I hated what we went through in 2020. This whole, you know, pandemic that we went through and all the nonsense. And I get it, folks. But, you know, if God allowed it, there's always, you know, I don't care if it's good or bad. All things can work together for good to them that trust God. And God brought some good out of that in my life. You know, when they shut the world down, basically, you know what Christian families had to do? They actually had to stay home. They actually had to learn to have family time again. They actually had to go find a board game. You know, I'm sorry, but even sometimes in our church life, we just spend so much time running. You know, it gave me extra time to read my Bible, extra time to study, extra time to work on some sermon series. And I know the frustration of all that went with that, but you know what God maybe did to a whole nation? He just made us lie down for a little while and kind of, and I think it hit the reset button in a lot of Christian families. I really have heard our young couples in our church say, preacher, as frustrating as that was, it made us realize we don't have to be gone all the time. And it made home more precious, and it hit some reset buttons in our life. So God brings good out of it. He leads me beside still waters. So folks, listen, God knows what we need and when we need it. Sometimes he's going to make you lie down for a while. Sometimes he's going to lead you beside those still waters. The still waters, I think of the still waters of the peace of God. When I think of still waters, it didn't say stormy waters, okay? It said still waters. And I think that speaks of peace. And I think there were those times where God is restoring our soul. Right after making us lie down, right after walking beside the still waters, we see he restoreth my soul. And there's going to be times in our life where God just slows things down. He protects us from the storm. He gives us a time of kind of peace and quiet in our life. I couldn't help but think of Philippians chapter 4. Let me read it to you. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then we talk about this peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so he makes you lie down. He leads you beside the still waters. He slows life down, hits some reset buttons because he wants to restore our soul. He wants us to stop for a few minutes. He protected us, put us in a bubble for a while till we could kind of get to the place where we rediscover that peace that passeth all understanding. Folks, it's not a bad thing to have to go through difficult times. It's in those times, a lot of times, that maybe you're fighting physical things and you want to your prayers are all about restoring my body when God's more worried about restoring our soul. And I didn't know Mrs. Steers was going to be here this morning, but I see her shaking her head. And many in this room, I look around and think of some of you that are going through health challenges right now, or you're coming out of them, or you've had a dear loved one that's gone through it. And, you know, if your spouse is going through it, you're going through it with them. And if God slowed their life down, God slows your life down with it. And God has reasons for what he does. I think about that restoring my soul. And folks, the soul is of a man. We taught this. I believe the soul is a triune. Just like we're body, soul, and spirit, I think the soul is a triune. I think it's mind, heart, and will. And you know what? Our mind sometimes needs to be restored. By the renewing of our mind, it needs to be renewed. Sometimes a reset button needs to be pushed in the way we're thinking. Because all of a sudden we get into, come on, humanistic thinking patterns, and we've gotten away from biblical thinking patterns, and God just says, I'm just gonna make you lay down here for a minute, and I'm gonna lead you beside some still waters. I'm gonna give you but we need to hit reset buttons sometimes. You know, I don't want to think about a circumstance in my life the way the world or a lost person would think about it. I don't want to see it that way. Amen. I want to see it the way God sees it. And I want to know that peace and understand. Listen, I want to learn and have to trust in the Lord sometimes and lean not to my own understanding. I just want to acknowledge him and trust him to direct our paths. And, you know, if you go through things, some things like, cancer or different things, whatever you've gone through, you know, there's that time where God just kind of says, this is what we're going to do for a while. Psalms 51. We're going to teach through that psalm later on, Lord willing. It's one of the psalms I've selected. And, of course, that's the psalm that David has to get right with the Lord. He writes it during when he falls under conviction and about his sin with Bathsheba. And one of the things we talk about, he restoreth my soul. He wrote in there, restoring to me the joy of my salvation. And, you know, sometimes, folks, you talk about our mind, our heart, our will. You know, we're not thinking right. We're not thinking in biblical thinking, thought patterns anymore. So we get that straight. And how you think affects how you feel. So what you're thinking about affects your emotions. You know, you've been there. I mean, you can let your mind go down the wrong path. And you know what's so silly? A lot of times the path we're going down mentally, we've gone down it 100 times. And we know what's at the end of it. And the only thing that is the end of it is a dead end sign where you sit down in despair. And yet mentally, we start going down that path, thinking path again. And it's going to stir up the wrong emotions. But when we start thinking biblically, you know, he has a chance to restore in us the joy of our salvation. Hey, let's just stop a minute, okay? Let's just ask everybody a question. You don't raise your hand. You answer that in your own heart. But have you lost the joy of your salvation? Think about that. I didn't say that you lose your salvation. That's impossible. But you can lose the joy of your salvation. And can you remember a time back in your Christian life when, man, coming to church was exciting, reading the Bible was exciting, and God was using you, and you were so happy in the Lord, happy to serve the Lord, happy to be used of God. Folks, listen to me. Sometimes we need to reclaim some of that. We need to ask God, hey, help me get back to doing the things that brought joy. And so our soul sometimes needs to be restored. Then he leads us in the paths of righteousness. I'm going to have to hasten a little. God is a holy God, folks. Listen, don't ever blame the shepherd if you're going down a path of unrighteousness. Don't come to this preacher and ask for an appointment and then sit in my office and try to tell me about a decision that you're about to make that's unbiblical and unscriptural, but you've prayed about it and you think the Lord wants you to do it. He never leads us down an unrighteous path, okay? Am I following the Lord? Well, let me ask you this. Are you walking in the paths of righteousness? And if you're not, don't blame God for it. Or don't claim that God led you there. I'm sorry, preachers got like zero patience with that anymore. I'm tired of people pointing an accusatory finger to God. And because they want to do wrong, they want to make God involved in it somehow. That's a wrong way to think. And then it says that he comforts us with his staff and his rod in verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comforts me. And sometimes, folks, he's going to lead us down that valley of the shadow of death. But you know what? While we're going through that, he's got a staff, he's got a rod to protect us, to comfort us with, to keep us pointed in the right direction. Boy, the valleys are important. The valleys are important. I think that the closest you'll ever get to God is probably while you're walking through a valley. God is there even in the valley of the shadow of death. Think about that. Boy, you know, pastoring all these years, mercy. And how many times, you know, am I in the hospital? How many times? I had somebody tell me the other day, you know, and this would not be unusual if it's true of you, that they'd never been in the presence of somebody that takes their life last breath. And I've never seen somebody die before. And I sat there and thought to myself, mercy, I'd have to stop and think, but I've been there many, many, many times. And you know, to watch God give grace. Folks, if he'll give you living grace, don't you think he'll give you dying grace? You know, and to watch the grace of God, to be in the room, you know, with my daddy holding his hand when he took his last breath. And folks, I'm not a spooky person, but I'm going to tell you something. You know, I think during moments like that, I think the veil between the supernatural and the natural gets really thin. And, you know, when Lazarus passed away, the Bible says that the angels came and carried him into Abraham's bosom. And if you've ever been in a room with a dying saint, there's something about it. I don't even know how to put it into words, except that you know that God is there. And you know that something supernatural is happening. And you know what? If God will give me grace, and he has every day, he's given me the grace to live out that day. Good days, bad days, easy days, hard days. You know what? I don't think he's going to fail me at the end there. And so God is even there in the valley of the shadow of death. The shepherd will provide for me in the presence of mine enemies. You say, preacher, I don't have any enemies. Well, I don't know. You must not be living much of a Christian life then. Well, where do you get that? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. And come on, you know, if you do right, not everybody's going to understand. And, you know, it's funny because I don't walk around, you know, personally attack everybody that's doing wrong. But it's amazing how many people that's doing wrong feel like they need to launch a personal attack against somebody that's doing right. You know, I see a lot of people criticizing people that are living right and doing right on social media and defending their sin. And I think to myself, you know, you don't have to defend yourself when you know you're doing right. You only feel the need to defend yourself when you're doing something wrong. And so, you know, I don't feel like every time I make a right decision, I got to get on social media and defend it. You know, I just know that right's right. But a lot of folks aren't doing right. And unfortunately, they're attacking people that are not doing right. But you know what? God said, don't worry about that. David says this, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So even when we have to go through personal attacks in our Christian life, somebody don't understand, somebody feels a need to try to find a way to put us down. And, you know, folks, it's crazy because I was doing my radio broadcast last Wednesday afternoon. And I'll just share with you a little bit, you know. And there's these moments where I just shake my head and discouragement can set in. But I'm sitting in my office right before this Wednesday night service, about an hour before, and I'm finishing up a week of broadcasts. And I spent the whole week on lessons from the master fisherman, just things that you watch Jesus and learn from him about when it comes to soul winning. And this whole idea of catching fish, he said, I'll make you become fishers of men. So I was just teaching basically soul winning for an entire week and the importance of it. And so our kids are out on Wednesday night, our Wednesday afternoon soul winning. Teen soul winning is Wednesday afternoon from 3:30 to when church starts. And so they're out there in Lenten, I found out later on. And the phone starts ringing in the background. Well, whenever somebody leaves a message, I can hear it in my office. And so I hit pause because I know they're going to start leaving a message. And, you know, it'll be in the background of my broadcast. So I got to pause the program. And all of a sudden this lady comes on and says, A couple of young men from your church came by my house, and they hung some material on the door, and I just don't understand why you think this is an effective way. It just seems like there'd be so many other more effective ways. I appreciate the message, but I just don't think going on to people's property and going on their property and leaving stuff and knocking on people's, just complaining. And I'm thinking, these kids aren't out stealing cars. These kids aren't out breaking windows. These kids aren't out making a drug deal somewhere. These kids aren't out smashing mailbox because they're half drunk. There's young people out there soul winning, trying to get the gospel to people. And this woman, you know, doesn't leave her name, doesn't leave her number, and, you know, hangs up. And I thought to myself, you know, and then I'm teaching on soul winning. And this phone call comes in. Folks, listen to me. You know what? Unfortunately, when we're doing right, not everybody's going to understand. And there is an increased hostility towards the Church of Jesus Christ when it comes to spreading the gospel. And we're going to have, if you're going to do the right thing, we're going to have more and more enemies. But let the Lord take care of it. How about this? We'll close with this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So provision, this is the benefits of following the shepherd. Provision, care, peace, healing, direction, righteousness, comfort, anointing, goodness and mercy, and eternal life. I mean, I don't know about you, but it seems foolish to miss out by refusing to let the Lord be your shepherd. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the lesson. And Lord, may we make a personal, conscious decision this week to allow you to be our good shepherd. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.